When Jesus hears this story about John the Baptist, he instinctively does what any good Jew would do. Thinks about the wilderness. Where can I go to be with God? And y'all know that really the place where God was with God's people, the idyllic place that Israel knew that God was with them, was in the wilderness, where they had nothing except their dependence on God. 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. It was ingrained in them. You want to encounter God? You want to encounter God when there's a hard time? Go to the wilderness. And so Jesus tries to go to a deserted place. And the people around, when they hear it, they also go to a deserted place. Now, the it in this story is could be that they hear that Jesus is going to a deserted place. That's quite possible. Because, you know, Jesus has made a name for himself. People know him. But I think it could also be when they hear it, that is, the death of John the Baptist. They also instinctively think, let's get to the desert. Because they had John the Baptist. John was incredibly popular. In fact, arguably more popular than Jesus at the time. And so when he is just meaninglessly killed, their hopes are dashed. You know, John the Baptist is like, he is something. In him we have hope. And now we don't. And so they go off to the wilderness. And maybe they're so shocked by the news, they forget to pack a lunch. They just go. Jesus arrives and the crowd is there. And he has compassion for them. He has pity on them. That's not, those words are too, they're not strong enough. His guts go out to them. That's literally what the Greek says. Right? Like, he's just, oh, his guts, it's a gut-wrenching feeling. These people are out here and they have lost so much. And look at them. And look at us. And that's really the key. Because if he just has pity on them, and is sorry for them, oh, it's poor people, they're just going to, I'll take care of them. But that's not this. This is, I am in it with them. Because Jesus is going out there to grieve his cousin, his forerunner, right? That's one reason he's going out there. But he's also going out there, I think, because holy mackerel. Is that kind of meaningless death in my future too? God, what's up? Am I really up for this? To give my life? Jesus goes to pray with God. And when he gets there, there's all these people. And it says that he heals their sicknesses, but it's very interesting. Matthew uses a unique word there, and it really has more to do with weaknesses. Like, he heals their weaknesses. He tends to them in their grief. He tends to them in their hopelessness. It's that kind of weakness that Jesus is healing. So, when we hear this about the healing and healing the sick, I think we really need to look at that, because these people are grieving and he is entering into this grief with them, and that's tending to their weakness. Now, when was the last time you can remember us as a nation, for example, grieving? I think there's times of pockets of grief, but when we were all grieving together, oh my gosh, JFK was, oh, exactly, that's a really good example, right? And I remember going to the wilderness of watching, because JFK and RFK too, Robert Kennedy also, they put their body on a train and brought him back to D.C., right, where he was going to be buried at Arlington Cemetery, right? And I remember going out and being with all these people, and people who didn't necessarily, they didn't care if they were Democrats or Republicans. At this point in the life of our country, it was like holy mackerel. This guy was a hope. He had hope. We had hoped in him. Right? And everybody came and poured out. I was also thinking about 9/11. The beginning of that, right? It was like, yeah, there's a lot of grief in that. Fear, grief, weakness, vulnerability, all of that stuff that those people brought out into the wilderness, we had it too. The difference is, our leaders, unlike Jesus, didn't enter in with us. They were too busy planning revenge. Right? Vengeance. Getting everybody hyped up so that we wouldn't have to feel the things that we felt. We could get rid of that, they think, by doing this. By getting even. That's the kings of the world doing that. That's not Jesus. Jesus actually, it's set up more in Mark's gospel than in Matthew's gospel, but this is set up, this feeding of the 5,000 is set up so that it looks like it could be a military organization. In Mark's gospel, you might remember, they get in groups of 20s and in groups of 50s, right? Like these platoons. In Matthew, he didn't say that, but the implication from Mark is there. You got 5,000 able-bodied people, able-bodied men out there. This could be the beginning of a revolution. It's not. It is, just not that kind of revolution. And Jesus sees them, and he enters in with them in their grief and in their weakness, and heals them, and brings new life. And then that takes some time. So he's probably there, you know, well into the evening. It takes a long time to bring people hope back, doesn't it? And his disciples come to him and says, send them away now because we don't have anything to eat. They need something to eat. They forgot to bring their lunch. And he says, they do not go away. You give them something to eat. And they're looking there, you know, well, you know, 5 loaves and 2 fish. What's that? Among so many, right? And Jesus says, bring it to me. And then Jesus does this thing. He takes the bread and he looks into heaven. He orients himself to God. And I think in some way, this looking into heaven and being oriented by God and towards God is actually his answer about what's to come. Is it really meaningless, my suffering, that's going to be like John's? And the answer is no. No. It's not meaningless. Feed the people. Your life will be given to heal the nations, to heal the people who are grieving, who are lost, who are forsaken. And so he takes the bread after looking into heaven, he blesses it, he breaks it, he gives it to his disciples to give to the people. Which is really interesting because 5,000 people, they know that they received this bread from the disciples. But you know, it's pretty important that this bread be kosher. It's pretty important that the people who serve this are not unclean, ritually unclean. And yet it doesn't seem to matter. That in itself is an amazing thing. It doesn't seem to matter. We are all in this. We are all in this mess. Clean, unclean, it doesn't matter anymore. We are all sharing this meal that Jesus is providing. And that's how Jesus, I think, finds himself. The answer that he needed was, I am going to give myself away like these loaves of bread. And I think he might even be thinking, you know, that's actually a really good image for it. Give my disciples bread. And as you know later, he's going to do exactly that at the Last Supper. When it is exactly time for him to give his life away, literally, he takes bread, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it to his disciples. I wonder if he got that idea out in the wilderness. This is what God wants me to do. And my giving myself away leads to eternal life. That is to say, we give our lives away, and miraculously, God gives it back to us. As Jesus, Good Friday and Easter Sunday, he gives himself away, and God gives him his life back, eternal life. And every single time we give our lives away, God gives it back to us. It's a hard thing to understand. It's a hard thing to get our mind around. I was having a conversation with someone just the other day about this, she was grieving, and it was just so honest about all of the people that she knows who are dying, and you know, we're getting older and everybody's dying, and not only that, but then there's all of the people who have to take care of all of the old people, and it's so hard and it's so sad, she's saying. And I said, well, you know, that is one way to look at it. But another way to look at it is this. The people who are dying, the people who are suffering, they are, in their suffering, they can be united with Christ in his suffering. To give themselves away. Because actually that's what we're doing, right? We're practicing and we give ourselves away every single day. We are practicing for a good death. And the people who are tending to those people are giving themselves away. There's 100 things they'd rather be doing, right? Maybe, than tending to someone who's ill, or someone who's old, or someone who's on hospice, or whatever. But what they can say is this. I did this. I tended to this person. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. As hard as it was, I gave myself away, and somehow I got my life back. Got my life back. And so the meal of giving Christ's self away is the enacting of eternal life. We give it away, it comes back to us. And we partake of that in the Holy Eucharist. However you're giving your life away, come and be fed. And you will receive back the life you gave every single time. Eternal life. They need not go away. You give them something to eat. Jesus establishes this for us so that we receive what we need. And then are given the hope and the strength to give our life. And we come back and do it again. Look to heaven. Be oriented to God. And you will receive all that you need. And those around you will be blessed. And fed.